Sisters and brothers, God is speaking to us through this passage today, and the Spirit of the Lord is saying to us, you won't know until you go. You won't know until you go. Please pray with me. God, we come before you in all humility, yet with a sense of expectancy, God, about your word and the ways that you communicate to us. We stand before your holy word like Moses did so long ago in the wilderness, and we figuratively take off our shoes, God, because we know we are on holy ground. We are grateful to be on holy ground. Some of us have had weeks, God, where we needed you, and weeks where things were heavy, weeks where there was chaos inside and outside, weeks, God, where we need a word from the Lord. And so we are grateful on this morning to be before you, God, to be before the only throne that matters, to be before the great I am, to be before the Lord of Lords, our Prince of Peace, our provider, our deliverer. To be before you, God, is a tremendous privilege. And so now we, like Moses, we recognize that we are on holy ground. And we ask you, God, to speak. Because a word from you and we shall be healed. We love you. We need you. We are expectant about the ways that you communicate to us. And we pray that you would give us the Spirit this morning to receive what it is that you have to say. Now, I, God, ask that your word might come forth with power in spite of the frailties of the preacher, and that it might be a word that is precise, a word that is poignant, a word that speaks to the heart of these lives that you have given us to live. We're so grateful. It is the mighty, the holy, and the healing name of Jesus that together we say, amen.
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 Amen. Who am I that I should go and speak to Pharaoh? When we think of Moses, we are typically taken with the mighty deeds that Moses accomplished. We are typically taken and impressed by the things that God did through Moses when God liberated the people of Israel from bondage in Egypt. We are taken by Moses, the liberator, the powerful man who split oceans in half and who broke the will of wicked rulers and who broke the grip of oppression on his people. We are generally called to mind the mighty deeds of Moses, but we often forget. We often don't take into account what went on inside of Moses as he made his way to these mighty deeds. We are usually so focused, I wonder if you can see it with me, we're usually so focused on his external battles and the external fights that he fought that we fail to notice the internal battles that raged inside of him. This is one reason I talk about Moses so much, because his complexity of character is so reminiscent of ours. He is not just a mighty warrior on the outside, but on the inside there is some chaos that Moses has to fight. And I don't know if you agree with me that often when we think of the battles that we face in life, there are many battles that come at us that we have to fight on the external. But then on the internal, there is often a battle that goes along with it. And that battle can often trip us up even more. I know when we're looking for a job, there's an external battle that you fight, but it's not just the external battle that might truly determine whether you're victorious and the nature of the journey that you take and while you get there. There's the search for the job and the fights through the interviews. There are those things, but then there might be the depression on the inside, the internal battle that you have to push through, and it's that internal battle that can make the external battle that much more difficult. When you're in a hospital room and you're facing things that you didn't want to face, and everyone tells you, you got to keep encouraged, you got to keep, and there's the external battle of the difficulties you have to go through, the discomfort and even the pain that you might have to go through, the physical arduousness of the things that you have to do, wrestling with the doctors and chasing after insurance. There is an external battle that takes place, but inside, you also have to fight the ways of discouragement. The fear that you got to push back every day and the smiles you have to put on for other people as you're fighting these external battles. There are the external battles that you have to fight, the physical things you have to do, the other people that you might need to push through and to work around and to convince. There's the thought and the sweat and the work that goes into life. But then there's the battle inside yourself. I'm convinced that every mighty warrior Every mighty warrior, like Moses, like anyone that we might know, every mighty warrior has the external battle, but they have an internal battle that they also have to win. Today in this conversation between God and Moses, some of Moses' internal battles come to light. Today in this conversation, one of the longest conversations between a human and between God in all of Scripture. Today in this conversation, some of Moses' internal battles, they come to the fore. We're often taken with how mighty Moses is, but we forget these times when we see what the chaos on the inside of him and how it comes to the surface. Inside this mighty warrior of God, this mighty man who does incredible things, inside this person who is so tough and so effective in his life, inside of this person, I wonder if you can see it, inside of him, there is a chaos that rages. There's a battle that's going on. There is a spirit that is riddled with fear and with self-doubt. If you know anything about Moses' story, you know that he argued back with God quite a long time as God was asking him to do, to embark on this battle that he had before him. Moses went through the gamut of reasons why he was not the one. First, he says to God, God, I don't speak well. I'm not eloquent. I'm slow of speech and slow of tongue. I really can't do what you are asking me to do. He dabbles in this arena of self-doubt. He doesn't think he can do it. And then he says back to God when God says, well, I made your mouth, so I think you should let me decide that. He says back to God, he says, but isn't there someone better? Whew, how often have we said that? Isn't there someone more cut out, someone who is smarter, who thinks quicker, whose life is less messy than mine? God, I know there's someone better. How many times have we said back to God, I can't be the one. There's got to be someone who's smarter. In fact, I think I see her over there. God, go with her because she is better. He is better at the things that you have set before me to do. I don't think that I can do it. And finally, Moses, if this weren't enough, if this weren't reminiscent enough of our own character, these internal battles that Moses has to wage. This weren't enough. Finally, Moses just says to him, he gets to the core of his questions and why he's having such a hard time that God is sending him. This internal battle, the kernel of it comes to light when Moses says to God in this passage we read today, Moses says, God, who am I that I should go? Who am I? This existential question that Moses raises to the surface about the meaning and the possibility of his time on this earth. Who am I when I am mediocre and I am messy? Who am I, God, when I have messed up and I have stepped in the wrong path at times? Who am I, God, when I am not special, who am I that I should go and do this? This internal battle that Moses wages of self-doubt, very familiar to us. We, of course, have an easier time knowing that Moses needs to win this battle of self-doubt, this internal battle. We know that. Why? Because we know that Moses' life was big and meaningful, and the things to which he was called were huge, and they were bigger than him. We know he's got to get it together. We know because we know his story. Ah. We know the end of his story. We know he's got to get it together because God is calling him to a mighty task. People are depending on him. This will send ripple effect through generations after him. He's got to go. He's got to get it together. He's got to win this internal battle. We don't always treat our own internal battles with the same sense of urgency. Maybe that's because we don't know the end of the story that God is trying to pull out of us. We don't always treat it with the same sense of urgency. We let the battles rage on. We don't hear God's voice the way Moses heard God's voice say back to him, who made your mouth? If I said you can go, then you should go. If I have deemed you worthy, then don't worry about the other things in your spirit. We often don't fight back against the internal battle. We don't take it as seriously. But the truth is that we, like Moses, are called. The truth is, like Moses, we see the call on his life and the power that God was pulling out of his days on this earth, and that what he was up against went beyond him, was bigger than him. But the truth is that we, you and I, are called as well. How many know you don't have to flip too far in the newspaper to see that even though Pharaoh was a character back then in the time of Moses, there are still pharaonic forces in our midst today. There are still forces of tyranny and of cruelty. You don't have to go too far in the newspaper to see cruelty on the border and insanity on the interior, and to know that God is still upset about some things, and God still hears some cries that pierce through heaven, and God still calls people to say, "This is not the way I wanted. You are my people. I need you to go." We too are called in our own way to fight against these forces. Some of us are called in our families. Ooh. To have, just like Moses' impact would have ripple effects for generations. Some of us are called in our families to break bonds of dysfunction that have been there for years, and this will have impact for generations to come after us. Some of us are called, and it's bigger than us. Some of us are called in the lives of young people. Some of us are called in these lives to tell these young people that they are loved and valued in the midst of a world that would tell them otherwise. And this, of course, goes beyond us. It goes after us. It's bigger than us. To be called by nature is to be asked to do something that is bigger than you. We often don't realize how important it is that we win our inner battle, because we don't think we're called the way Moses is. Oh, but we are called today. The real tragedy, of course, of these internal battles, of the chaos that sometimes swirls inside of us as we're fighting the chaos on the outside of us, of the mountains that we got to move inside of us as we're trying to push the mountain on the outside of us. The real tragedy of these mountains that we just leave there on the inside of us while we're trying to push the ones down the real tragedy is not, of course, just the feeling, though it can be uncomfortable. The real tragedy is that with these internal battles, sometimes it's not so much the feeling of the battle itself, though that can be uncomfortable. It's not so much the negative emotions, though those are not fun. Sometimes it's not so much that. It's what the internal battle keeps you from. It's that the internal battle can keep you so occupied. Do y'all hear me? Can keep you so occupied with the chaos inside of you that you're not pushing, that you're not fighting the battles to which God has called you on the outside. The tragedy often is not just the feeling, the uncomfortable emotions or the difficult feelings that might come along. The tragedy is what the battle on the inside keeps us from on the outside. The tragedy is often that God is calling us to things, and because we, like Moses, are experiencing things on the inside, we don't go with the fierceness with which we are designed to the places that God has called us. We don't embark on the journeys and set forth on the paths of impact and of power in our lives to which God has called us, because we're too busy on the inside, swirling around in this chaos, that we let convince us, "Who am I? I should go." It's fascinating to me when we consider this passage and how Moses resisted God and said back to God this question, this kernel of his internal battle that came to his lips in the presence of the Most High. It's fascinating to me as we consider how Moses resisted, and Moses didn't feel like it was him, and Moses was fighting this internal battle before he got to the external one. And it's fascinating to me, as I said, consider Moses' story and the ways that we would say back to God, "God, I can't do it. God, who am I? God, I'm not the one." It's fascinating to me as I look at the story, if you look with me, that when Moses says all of this to God about who Moses is, and "It can't be me, and I cannot be the one," it's just fascinating to me that when God responds to Moses and to Moses' preoccupations, to Moses' internal battles, to the doubts that Moses feels swirling around his spirit, God does not engage Moses on the question of his qualifications. In fact, God does not refer back to Moses and his own qualifications as a person at all. See, we want God to convince us first. We want God to win our internal battles for us first, to tell us we can do it first, to us to feel better on the inside first. Oh, but here in this passage, God does not refer back at all to Moses and what was wrong with him or what was right with him or when he would be able to do it. God does not mess with all of that. God does not go back to Moses' questions about who Moses was. Moses was all saying, "God, who am I that I should do this? God, I don't have what it takes." God, this is not, I'm not cut out for this. And Moses says, God says back to Moses, I'm not talking about who you are. I'm talking about who I am. It's fascinating to me. I wish I could say it with the power that comes through this text that God says back to Moses, I see your concerns. I know your limitations. I know your frailties. I know your power better than you do. Ooh. But I'm not worried about all that. God doesn't even refer to that. God says, it's not about, Moses is saying, who am I, God? God says, I'm not asking about who you are. I'm telling you about who I am. And I will be with you. Some of us need to hear that in the journeys and the battles that we're facing. We spend so much time terrified, not sure, doubting, and fighting these internal battles. And God is saying to us today, I know there are concerns. Those may be legitimate, but I need you to stop looking at what you have to offer and look back at the one who offered you life. Stop looking at all the things around you and look back at the one who made all of this. I am, God says. This is I wish I could say it how I felt it. Why? Because I know you face battles in your life. I know there are things I just know that there are things that you are pushing up against, things about which I am not aware, that you are pushing up against, that battles in your life. And sometimes we worry so much that we can't do it. God is saying here, when did I tell you you had to do it? But I did tell you, God is saying, I did tell you, I know you remember, I did tell you I am and I am with you. It's powerful. This is the most, if you look with me in verse 14, as we continue this passage, this is the most famous introduction in all of the history of divine human relations. The most famous introduction, this is where God says to Moses, I need you to know a little bit about me. I'm not going to tell you a whole lot, God says, but I need you to know as you're considering if you can do it, if you are cut out, I need you to know it's not about you, it's about me. I am. This is when God says, who I am, I'm going to tell you all you need to know about me is that I am. What I said to you is that I am. I am. If you look with me at verse 14, God said to Moses, I am who I am. He said further, thus you shall say to the Israelites, I am has sent me to you. This week, as you battle the things that you battle, as you're facing the hospital rooms that you have to walk into or even sleep in, this week, as you're facing the things on the external that might frighten you and make you feel that you can't do it, make you feel that it's not going to happen, I just want you to, as those doubts and that internal battle rises up in your spirit and as it gets really loud, I want you to hear the voice of God speak back to that battle and say, I'm not asking about all that. I am. Hear that this week as you're facing these battles, because that is the key for so many of us, that the God is standing in the midst of these things and saying, I know there's all this information around you. I know there are doubts. I know there are fears. I know there is a swirling chaos, but I am the God of the universe and I am with you. So many times we want God to explain it to us, to resolve the negative feelings, before we go forward. We want God to make us feel better. We want God to win our internal battle for us. And God is saying in this passage, do you see it? God is saying, I know you think you need all that. You need to feel better before you go forward. You need to have the positive emotions associated with going forward and with things working out. You need to feel better, right? You need to be too blessed to be stressed. That's not biblical. God never said that. You might be stressed sometimes. And in the midst of this battle that Moses is having on the inside, his negative emotions, his self-doubt, his fear, God says, I see all that, but what you need to hear from me is that I am. It's not about who you are. It's powerful. It's powerful. I can just hear Moses, God saying back to Moses, when did I ask you? When did I tell you that you needed to have it all together? When did I tell you that you needed to know what was going to happen and to know how to do everything? When did I tell you that you needed to be a perfect person? When did I tell you that you had to have this all by yourself? No, what I told you, Moses, is that I am. God gives Moses this cosmic answer to the most profound doubts that swirl around in his spirit, these doubts about who he is, the possibility of his existence on earth. God gives Moses this cosmic answer, this earth-shattering revelation of God's self. It's incredible. This answer that has lasted through the millennia that we still talk of. God says this to Moses. God blows Moses' mind with this. This should have been enough. God, I can just see God saying to Moses, I have shown you amazing things. I've been with you. I've shown you that I am able and that I am powerful. Even when you were a little bitty baby and Pharaoh was trying to kill you, that same man in whose house you now live, he was trying to kill you. But I, with my mighty hand, I reached down and through a basket, a little girl and a princess, I rescued you. That was my hand at work. That should have been enough. And I can see God saying to Moses, and I've kept you all of this time. That should have been enough. And Moses, now I set this bush on fire to get your attention. And now you are walking in relationship with me. That should have been enough. But even in spite of revelation, our finite minds cannot contain the magnificence of who God is in the universe. Our limited consciousness as creatures and not the creator cannot contain all that God is. And so when God tells us these things, I am in your life, and that's all you need to know. When God says, have you not seen that even though you didn't see it working, I was walking with you and I was keeping you through some things and I rescued you through a childhood. I may not have used a basket, but it was my hand at work, and I have kept you all the way till now, and I have gotten your attention, and now we are in relationship, and I am in your life, and no one could, even though we know all of this, our finite minds cannot contain it. We return back to our mundane anxieties, to our banal concerns. We return back to those things that worry us. We return back, here it is, to that internal battle. We go back. Moses went back even after God said, I am, and I will be with you. Even after God had shown him so many things, Moses went back. He got worried again. Anybody know how that feels? You should know. God has shown you and convinced you, but you go back. That internal battle comes back again. Ooh. Moses went back, and he wanted a sign. We want signs. We ask for some. We wish that God would make it plain. We do things like, oh, God, if I knew how this would work, I'd go. If I knew beforehand, I would take the risk. If I knew how it was going to go, if I could feel you moving, if I got some confirmation, we put fancy words on it. If the Holy Spirit would just tell me that if I would get some confirmation of these things that are happening, if I could just be sure, if God would reveal something to me, we put fancy church words on it, and then we feel okay about our doubt, even though in church, every time you come to church, you hear that doubt is not the way of the Lord, and doubt is not what we are supposed to do. But if you find a fancy church word for it, you can put it on your doubt and act like it's the right thing. We do things like, if I would just get confirmation, then I would know that this is the will of God, and then I would be able to walk forward in faith. But I can't do that because I haven't gotten confirmation, and the Spirit is being silent these days. And we put these fancy words on it. What you are doing is doubting. Oh, and did you not hear Jesus say, your faith has made you whole? This is what we do. This is what Moses did. He said, I need a sign. God could see in his eyes, said, I know you still doubt. I told you who I am. I set something on fire. You're here when you shouldn't be, given all that you've been through, but you're here and still you don't know that I am is with you. Okay. God says, you want a sign? I'll give you a sign, but you won't get it till after you walk forward in obedience. Did y'all see this in the text? We miss this part because we don't like it. We miss this part because it's not how we want God to operate, but God says, if you look with me, and I hope you still have your Bibles open. Amen, because you lead life better with your Bible open. Let me just tell you that. God says to him, I will be with you. This shall be the sign that it is I who sent you. Oh, don't we wish we had a sign? We would go, we say, we swear. If I just knew God was in this, if I knew God was telling me, I would go, I would apply for the job, I would set out on that, I would take the risk in the relationship. Here it is. If I knew that God was up to something good, if I would just get confirmation, then I would let go of that thing that's not quite that good in hopes that God would give me what's better. But I'm too scared, and so I'm holding on just in case God's not really up to anything. But if I knew, we say. We also look for a sign. God says, I'll give you a sign. This will be the sign that it is I who sent you when you have brought the people out of Egypt. Somebody say when.
When.
Oh, when. That means after. That means after you have done it. When you have stepped out in obedience, you shall worship God on this mountain. You know, when you send a job to a printer, send a job to Staples or something, to Office Depot, God bless you. I know that's probably the worst day of your life when you do that. It's another level of purgatory, Staples. When you send a job to the printer, though, what they will do is they will send you back a proof of what you can expect when the job is complete. When you send a job to a printer, they send you back a proof, and you know what you get to do? You get to approve the proof. You get to see how it's going to look. And you don't hit submit. You don't pay your money. You don't commit to the job. You don't step out on that project until you see the proof. Until you say, yes, I approve of this proof. This is how we treat God, is it not? God, give me a proof. Show me how it's going to look before I step out. Show me the result of what you're asking me to do before I go. Show me the result of the school before I sign up. Show me the result of the interview before I let my heart get in it and feel like maybe, and then maybe get disappointed. Show me, God, show me the proof. And if I approve, then I'll step out. Oh, but God says back to us, I am not Staples, and this is not a print project. This is faith. Faith. We want it to be like a print project. We want to see it, click, approve, then I'll go. The writer of Hebrews told us what faith is like. That writer, he said, faith is the assurance of things hoped for. And the conviction, he said, of things not seen. Oh, Miss Alice knows it. Things not seen. Oh, I know you want to see it. I know you want to see how it's going to work before you dive in. I know you want to see how it's going to go before you step out in obedience. I know you don't see now how it's going to work, how God is going to get that child from up till 18 without arson on his record and driving you completely out of your mind. I know you don't see how God is going to do it. I know you don't see how God is going to fix your heart after all the things it's been through. I know you look at it, the mess that is your heart, and you say, how, God? I know you don't see how. But the writer of Hebrews said, faith is conviction of things not seen. Not seen. We want proof before we go. So often we want proof so bad that we don't go. That we stay where we are and we wait until things are clear to us. We want the emotions to confirm what we think God is asking us to do. And we say, I'm not going to go until I feel it's right. God says to Moses, I will be with you. I will be active. I will be working on your behalf, but you will not see it until you go. You will not see it until you step out. You will not see it until you take the leap of faith. God says to Moses, you're gonna see it when you come and you worship me again on this mountain. The mountain he was on was Mount Horeb, also known as Mount Sinai, the holy mountain of God, where God came and the people of Israel did eventually worship God in freedom on that mountain. God says, you will know, but you're not gonna know when you step. You're not going to know when you take the next step. You're not going to feel the feelings, the comfort of certainty. I know you long for that, but that's not what I ever promised you. You will know, but not until you go, until you get there and you see that God was with you the whole time. That when you get there, that's when you will see and you will be sure. Not till then. We want certainty, but God never promised us certainty. God promised us presence. And so God says to Moses, you'll know, but only when you go. You will know, you'll see it, but not on the way. We want a sign so bad that we take even the negative things for signs. We're good at that. We are so good at, oh, that's a sign, I'm not going. Oh, it's the worst. I'm not, the dryer broke this morning. That's a sign, I'm not going to church today. How do you figure? Is that in Ephesians or in Galatians that the dryer is a sign? You shouldn't go. We will take a negative thing for a sign just like that. Why? Because we, like Moses, have a fear of going. We often take our fear as a sign, do we not? We say things like, if I don't feel right about it, my spirit's not right. Oh, we dress it up. I know 6 or 7 of y'all have said, my spirit's not right about it. Girl, you mean you are afraid? Have you ever, you're human and you have the feelings of fear, and Jesus said, fear not. Perfect love casts out fear. Don't call that your spirit not feeling. You're afraid. That's normal because you are trying to live a big life, and big lives are scary. You have self-doubt. That's normal. Moses had self-doubt. Moses, the great liberator of the people of Israel. These things, we take these negative emotions, we think they are signs. Let me tell you, in this passage, I want you to see yourself in this, on this holy ground where Moses was staying. Because I don't know the battles you're fighting, but I know you're fighting some. And I imagine, I suspect, that inside you there's an internal battle that is concomitant with the battle that you're facing on the outside. So I need you to see yourself and Moses standing on this holy ground today. Moses says, I feel fear. God says, I know, I see your fear. And I know you might take that fear as a sign that you shouldn't go. You keep trying to tell me that fear is a sign that you're not the one. You keep trying to tell me that fear is a big deal and you should listen to that fear and that's a sign. But I'm telling you, there will be a sign. But I did not say your fear was a sign. I said, this shall be the sign. I am with you.
Amen.
The power of God in Moses' life finally convinces him. We know this is true, that you often don't know until you go. Ruth didn't know until she went back to Israel. She couldn't even imagine what Boaz looked like until she went. Peter did not know that his feet would not fall through the floor of the sea until he stepped out of the boat. He never knew what it would feel like to walk on water with the power of Jesus under his feet. He would not have known if he did not go. We are so afraid. There's an unbiblical fear of death that everybody walks around in. Why? Because you don't know until you go. But our Lord has said, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. And so there's an ungodly fear that we have in our lives, not only of death, but of life. So many times we don't go. We're waiting for certainty. And it keeps our lives small. I need you to see Moses today, because I want you to know that this was chapter 3, in which God says to Moses, I have a call on your life. This is bigger than you. This is what I planned for you. You always say you wanted plans for your life. God, tell me my purpose. Tell me my Jeremiah verse. Tell me what my plans are for you. God is saying, here they are. Moses said, I want those. Oh, that sounds familiar. This is in chapter 3 when God speaks over Moses' life and says, I have something I'm calling you into. I will give you the sign, God says, but you won't know until you get there, until you step out in obedience, until you go. And it wasn't until chapter 19. Now, in case y'all haven't had your coffee yet and you're struggling with math, that's 16 chapters. That is 16 chapters where Moses said, I think, but I don't know. Ooh. Where Moses said, I feel this, but I feel this too. Where Moses said, there's an internal battle in me for which I am responsible. And as God moves the mountains in front of me, I'll move the mountains inside of me, because God said there's something I need to do through you. Yes. 16 chapters of that, where Moses wished he knew with certainty, but he didn't have certainty. He had faith. Some of us are in chapter 4, thinking, oh, I would know by now. No. It wasn't until he got to Mount Sinai. Oh, and on Mount Sinai in chapter 19, if you know the story, or if you can just imagine with me that the people of Israel got there together. They did. God sent plagues. God split oceans in half. God did mighty things. It was incredible. They were scared. They were exhilarated. They were amazed. They were terrified. They still doubted. They still wanted to go. A lot of emotions, a lot of internal battle. Do you hear me? That they had to push through. But then there did come a day. Oh, 16 chapters later, in chapter 19 of Exodus, I want you to read it when you get a chance, that there came a day when the people got to where God said they would get to. Do you hear me? There came a day when the people got to where God said they would get to, when they stood on that mountain and they looked around and they said, I did not know if we were going to make it. It is crazy what God has brought us through. There were times when I wanted to quit. There were times when I wanted to go back. There were times when I said, why did we ever go? But we got here. And look, we are free. And look back there at Egypt. And God said, those Egyptians that you saw today, you shall never see again. And they can say, God was right. And they worshiped. They worshiped. I need you to see you in your moment when the worship comes. They worshiped, and the text says there was thunder and there was fire, and it was an incredible day of worship, and the heavens were shaking because the presence of God was sitting there saying, showing off. You know how God does. God was saying, I told you so, and all the people were worshiping because they had gotten to where God said they would get. But they had to wait the 16 chapters. And I can just see Moses. You see the scene of worship. When you go, when you step out in obedience, in spite of the internal battles, I can see this scene of worship, but then I can see Moses. Y'all see him with me? Because this is us. I can see Moses as everybody's shouting and loud, dancing and worshiping with all they got because they did not know it was going to work, and it did. They did not know their families were going to come back together, but they can see a day when, oh my goodness, everybody's back together. They did not know they were going to make it through and get out of that hospital bed, but they came to a day when they did. They did not know that they were going to find the love that they've been looking for their whole lives, and they always thought it was impossible. And God said, I'll give you a little bit of faith, but you're not going to have certainty. And then they got to the day when they saw it. They did not know it was going to come through. They did not know the wonders God was going to work in their lives. They had a little bit of faith, but not much. They did not know, and here they are. So they're worshiping. And then I want you to see Moses. While they're loud and worshiping, I just imagine that Moses is having his own private praise party. You know those praise parties? Maybe not the loud ones, but the private ones. Where you, oh, God, when you look back over the places that God has taken you. And you say, God, you said I would be here. I didn't know what it was going to look like. I didn't know how you were going to do it, but here I am. You have kept me. You have done some things when you can look back, a private praise party. When you look back and say, God was good for God's word. I can just see the tears coming down his eyes. Not the loud kind of praise party. Some of us, sometimes we just need the quiet ones. Private. God, you were right. But I didn't know until I went. I don't know what battles you are facing today, but I imagine there are some internal battles that go along with them. I don't know what God has called you to, but I know in your multifaceted call, there are some things that are bigger than you that God is asking you to do. I know God is calling you to things. We have the choice to take our fear as a sign, to listen to our fear and to wait. This is it, to wait till our fear goes away, to wait till the emotions are better, and to watch our whole lives go by. Well, we have the choice to hear God's voice saying, I am. That's all you need to know for now. You won't know the rest until you go. And I don't know about you, but when I hear the voice of the mighty God of the universe calling me into God's path, calling me to the places where God has for me and God has to work through me, when I hear that voice, I want to go. I want to go. I want to trust that voice. Because I know God is bringing us into new horizons. Like Valerie said today, some of us are standing on the edge of a season. We have the choice to go. We have the choice to say. We're waiting for that certainty, but God says, you won't know until you go. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.